Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
Brother Pat Pullum, state trooper, getting ready to retire in how many days, Brother Pat? 9 working days after 30, well, maybe not working days, but not, you know, he's got spring fever. Remember high school, you know, you're about to graduate. 30 years as state trooper, and I've always been proud of the fact that Brother Pat calls Myo Baptist Church home, and when I see him in his uniform and in his squad car, I just think that's the neatest and coolest thing. He has a lot of interesting things happen. Maybe you didn't know about it. This just happened recently with Brother Pat. He was out patrolling, and then he called his post, his command post. He radioed the command post, and he says, I've got a very interesting case going on here. He says, a woman just shot her husband for stepping on the floor that she had just mopped. The floor was wet, and he stepped on it, and she shot him. And they radioed back, and they said, well, Trooper Pullum, have you arrested her yet? And he says, no, not yet. The floor is still wet. Not a dummy. Not a dummy. We're in Luke chapter 16 this morning. The parable of the shrewd steward. You know, we live in a day and age where there's lots of scams going on. This is a true scam, and it actually happened to somebody here in our church. Someone poses as a grandson, an older grandson, like 20s, 30s. Someone posing as a grandson will call a grandparent and say, I need your help, grandma or grandpa. And it says, I'm in Mexico, and I have been illegally arrested. And I need $1,500 to get out to be able to come back home. Could you send it to me? And oh, by the way, now this is a scam. This is not her grandson. This is somebody posing. You know, and they said, by the way, don't call any of my family and let them know because they don't know I'm down here. They're going to really be mad. So they play on, you know, grandma's and grandpa's emotions and say, please send it to this address down in Mexico and I'll thank you for it. And I'll pay you back. You know, when I get home, I'll work it off and I'll pay you back. And that's a scam. And they send the money and find out that their grandson or granddaughter wasn't in Mexico. And it's all a scam. And, you know, you hear about things like that and you think to yourself, how did they come up with that? Who thinks of such a thing? In fact, you know, it's just kind of ingenious how they do that. And that's kind of what our parable about from Scripture is today. In Luke chapter 16, in verses 1 through 9, it's the story of what we call the shrewd steward, who really scammed some people. Now, at the conclusion of this story, Jesus makes an observation about this steward and turns it around and turns what would be considered a negative into a positive. Now, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, I think it's very important that we start off each year talking about stewardship. And we have done that in this church for a number of years. And this year, I think I'm actually starting a little later, but it's very important. It's very important that we as a congregation understand what the Bible teaches about stewardship or the management of our money and our resources, because it's such an important part of our lives. Almost every day of our life will involve money to some degree or another. People that don't understand biblical principles and concepts of stewardship and managing their finances often pay a very heavy price, and it creates a lot of stress. I mean, financial pressure is just awful. To have more going out than's coming in, and you know, that's just a very dreadful situation. But it doesn't have to be that way. And we can learn the best financial management principles from the Word of God, because the Bible, you know, acknowledges that money is a very important and integral part of our lives. But don't be nervous. Some people get cold feet. Some people get the jitters when a preacher gets up to talk about money, to talk about finances. And to be sure, let me just acknowledge, there are some preachers that are greedy. There are some preachers that have mismanaged finances and have hurt themselves and hurt their church and hurt the church funds. There have been some preachers that have abused their congregation. However, when we take the Bible, as we're going to do, and as I faithfully convey to you what the Bible teaches about stewardship, it is in your best interest, because I want you to be blessed. You know, from a pragmatic point of view, the blessings of this church financially come from you. So if you're not blessed, this church can't be blessed. But to the degree you are blessed, this church can be blessed. Because guess what, folks? We don't get endowments. We don't get payments from the federal government or the state government or the local government. Every penny that comes through this church comes through God's people being generous. But God's people can't be generous if they don't have it. So from a pragmatic point of view, yeah, I want you to be blessed. And the way to be blessed is to understand that the Bible speaks a lot about money and resources and tells you how to properly manage it, how to properly understand it. And in so doing, then not only are you blessed, but the Lord's work can be blessed as well. And I want this series on stewardship to be a win-win situation, a win for you and a win for the cause of Christ. This parable in Luke chapter 16 is a bit unusual, and I don't know that I've ever preached from it before, because I don't know that I have properly understood it before. Some of the information in the message today is not original with me, but it was such good information that I wanted to share it with you. I want us to look at this parable. It is an unusual parable. It's the kind, if you just read it at face value, you might scratch your head and you might be thinking, wait a minute, did Jesus just say that what that guy did was good? And without careful consideration and thoughtfulness, you might come to the wrong conclusion. What are we talking about? Well, let's look at the story. Luke chapter 16, we're going to begin in verse number 1. Very interesting story. It's got to do with money, got to do with stewardship, and there's a lesson here. And he said also unto his disciples, now this is Jesus talking to Christians about money, something he did often, and that's to our advantage. We need to be glad that he spoke about it and that he did not ignore or avoid such an important topic. And he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. This is talking about a rich man who had a financial manager, a financial custodian, a steward of his money. This rich man could afford to have somebody to watch after his money and to manage his money. He is called a steward, and what he did is referred to as stewardship. But this rich man finds out that this steward has not done a good job. He has done a terrible job, and this man has cost him a lot of money. So in verse number 2, and he called him, the steward, who had just made some bad decisions, made some bad business deals, and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. The rich man comes to him and says, we need to talk. I understand that you have made some bad business deals on my behalf. And he says, what I want you to do is, you're done here. You don't have a job here. He says, I will give you enough time to get the books in order. I want you to get all the records up to date. I want all the books in order. And I want you to come and I want you to report back to me. I want you to bring an audit and I want you to do this. And when you're done, you will be done. You'll have to find employment elsewhere. So that brings us to verse number 3. Then the steward said within himself, "What am I going to do? What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed." So this steward comes away from the meeting with the boss, and he knows, man, maybe I got a week or two left of pay, and I got to get the books in order and got to present it to him and review all the books. And then what am I going to do? He said, you know, my goose is cooked here. He says, I can't dig, which means he was not able to do physical labor. He must have had some problem that he couldn't do physical labor. And he says, I don't want to beg. So he's, you know, the wheels are spinning. You know, life is about to change for this guy. So in verse number 4, he says this: "I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses." He begins thinking, you know, my boss does a lot of business with a lot of wealthy people, and I've gotten to know those people working on behalf of my boss. Perhaps I might have a future with one of them. So he comes up, he comes up with this plan where he can curry favor with these people, hoping that when he loses his current position, one of these other business people would be willing to take him in. So the wheels are turning, and he is thinking, how can I gain favor with these people so that when I lose my job with my current boss, I might be able to find employment with them? Here's his plan. Verse number 5. "So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord?" So he starts thinking, let's see, my boss deals with Mr. Johnson and Mr. Smith. And he thinks, I'm going to go to Mr. Johnson because we've got all these business dealings going on between him and my boss. I need to find out what Mr. Johnson owes my boss. Of course, making up the names. So he executes his plan. So he goes and he says, how much do you owe? And he said, he goes to this first man, we'll call him Mr. Johnson. And Mr. Johnson said, 100 measures of oil. He says, oh, you owe my boss the equivalent of 100 measures of oil. So the wheels are turning in this steward's mind. And he says, tell you what I'm going to do. On behalf of my boss, take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. Let's just change. Instead of 100 measures of oil, tell you what I'm going to do. It's going to be 50. Now, I heard one preacher who did the math on this and concluded that the businessman owed the steward's boss what would have been at that time $160,000. And the steward says, look, let's make a deal. Let's knock off half of that. Let's just make it $80,000. And can you imagine that other businessman? Are you sure? Yeah, yeah. No, you don't owe him 160. Just make him 80. Hey, great. Where do I sign? Can you imagine? Can you imagine somebody doing that for you with your house note, saying, "Look, let's call it half paid off. You got another 20 years, 10 years, or whatever. Doesn't matter what it is. If it's 1 year, if somebody comes along and says, tell you what, you know, you owe 20 more notes. Let's just make it 10. Well, you got a new friend. You know, you've got a new friend, and that's exactly what this steward was doing. He was being sly. He was being slick. And he obviously had that kind of authority to make those kind of deals on behalf of his boss, even in this situation. And then in verse number 7, he does it again. Then said he to another, how much owest thou? And this is a different man. This would be Mr. Smith. And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, tell you what, take thy bill and make it 80. Now, one preacher that I heard that did the math on this said the second businessman owed probably today's equivalent $320,000 worth of wheat. And the steward says, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a 20% discount. We're going to knock $64,000 off that bill. Now, do you think he's just made another friend? I imagine he's saying, are you sure about this? We're going to knock $64,000 off of what I owe your boss? He said, yeah, do it. I'm authorized to do that. Thank you. And what is he doing? He's scoring points with these guys. Because in the not too distant future, in his mind, he said, I'm going to need these guys. And I'm going to make some fantastic deals with them so that when I lose my job, they'll be inclined to help me. Now, look in verse number 8. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. So Jesus tells this parable, and then after he tells the parable, he comments on it. Again, the disciples are all just sitting there listening, wondering what he's teaching, wondering where he's going with this story. So he tells them this, and he commends the unjust steward for his shrewdness. Now understand, and there's a subtle distinction here. He's not saying, the Lord isn't commending him and saying that what he did was right. But what he is commending here, he is recognizing, not that he's commending even, he is simply recognizing the ingenious shrewdness of this guy. That this apparent lost man, just the wheels started turning. He started thinking, he started conniving. And Jesus is pointing out to him, not that what he did was right, but the fact that he took action. He got motivated. But he was thinking like a lost man. Now Jesus takes this story and applies it to the disciples. And Jesus then tells the disciples this, why aren't Christians as strategic? Why aren't Christians as shrewd when it comes to money for good purposes? That's the point that Jesus is making. He is saying, this man begins to think. This man begins to plan ahead. This man is highly energized. This guy is highly motivated. And Jesus is saying, that's the lesson. You Christians don't need to do bad stuff. But you do need to think about your money strategically. You need to be shrewd in the use of your money. To some people, shrewd has a negative connotation, but I'm not using it negatively. If you look up the definition of shrewd, it means thoughtful. It means strategic. It means thinking things through. It means planning ahead. So Jesus is saying, look what lost people do. Look how they think ahead. Look how they work at it. Look at how they plan. Christians, on the other hand, can come across as just kind of lazy, slow, unmotivated, uncaring, uncompassionate. Jesus sums it up in verse number 9. Look at what it says. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Do you see the lesson there? This lost man used money so that when the end came for him, as far as employment is concerned, he would have some friends to welcome him. Jesus takes that and applies it this way. Let's read it again. Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. Jesus is teaching, very simply, use your money. Use your mammon to make friends with people. So that when you die, when you fail, you'll have some folks in heaven to greet you there. You understand the point? You have to think about it for a second. He isn't saying that we should go out and be scam artists like the steward was, but the steward did use money to make friends with people for his advantage. And the Lord is saying, Christians, in this sense, you need to use money. Use your money. Use your generosity for positive things. Use it to invest in lost people. Use it in opportunities that you might have to be generous to a lost person so that through you, they will come to know Christ as their Savior. And those that are older than you, should they go to heaven before you, when you get to heaven, they will be there to greet you because you used money in a good way. You use money to reach out to people to be generous. This lesson really isn't teaching about tithing. This lesson really isn't teaching about giving to the church. This lesson is very practical and very day-to-day. That you and I, when we're out doing business, that we don't come across as some stingy, miserly people. That what resources we have, when we see the opportunity to show kindness and generosity to a lost person, the Lord impresses upon us to do something for someone, that we are quick to do it. That is the lesson. Really doesn't have anything to do about giving to church. More about that at a later date. But this is just talking about being sensitive to lost people. And being sensitive to the fact that the Lord has blessed you with some resources. And you need to think in terms of how can I use these personal resources that the Lord has given me for eternity. There's three lessons here in this story. Number one, this teaches us to live strategically for eternity. We need to live strategically for eternity. The shrewd steward thought ahead to when he was going to be fired and planned for that eventuality by giving people special deals. Now that was wrong, but what that does teach us is he was thinking ahead. He was planning. And the lesson here is, if lost people can act shrewdly and strategically for selfish purposes using unjust means, then Christians should live shrewdly, strategically, for eternal purposes using just means. The lesson is, it's sad that unsaved people will work very hard at being unscrupulous for selfish purposes, whereas Christians don't think strategically at all. And the lesson here is, from Christ himself, is think strategically. Understand why you are here. Our great calling is to win the lost. Our great calling is to make disciples. And that ought to dominate our lives, which would include a very important part of our lives, our money. And thinking in terms of, even how can I use that? How can I be wise, strategic, shrewd to use my money to be a blessing to someone, to have an inroad with them, not for the purpose of using and abusing and taking advantage of them or for selfish gain, but simply to be able to influence them for the cause of Christ. Understand, the measure of our lives is not going to be how much money we have in the bank, but it's going to be to what degree we've been used of the Lord for the fulfillment of the Great Commission. God wants us to make disciples. And we need to think strategically about that. How can I do that? Well, the Lord 2,000 years ago said, think about this steward. He used it to his personal advantage. You need to use what you have and think of money beyond just yourself and your own need, but how you can influence somebody else, how you can be generous to someone else. The Lord wants you to consider your end. You know, when you die, it's too late. Think about it now. You know, how could you use the resources you have in a positive, generous way to reach out to somebody? Rather than them thinking that you're someone that's a miser, selfish and greedy. And some Christians have that. I mean, and that's the way they come across in public. I heard a preacher this past week saying, listen, as a Christian, you go to a restaurant, if you can't tip, this is just his opinion, but he makes a good point. He said, if you can't tip generously, don't go to the restaurant until you can tip generously. Now, isn't it a terrible thing that you might go to a restaurant, people know, well, he's the pastor, or he's the Sunday school teacher there, you know, and you give some little miserly tip? You know, that is saying something. That's kind of the message this morning. You got some resources, and think strategically how you're coming across to the waiter or the waitress. I don't know. There may be some people in this room that you go out and eat and leave no tip. Just get up and leave. You know, that's a horrible testimony. It's much better for people at a restaurant, especially in small communities like this where we know each other, for them to think, you know, the people from Myo Baptist Church are the most generous group of people on the face of the earth. Don't you think that's a good testimony? That's the kind of practical, everyday thing that this simple parable is teaching us. And you do that because you're thinking strategically. That's the way the unjust steward thought. He's thinking strategically. He's thinking ahead. He's planning. He's putting the parts of the puzzle in place to have the desired results that he wants it to have. And the Lord is implying that we as Christians maybe don't think that way. You just go through life and rather nonchalantly. Well, we need to change that. We need to understand that we've got a calling to be a witness and a testimony to people. And even the tips that we leave at a restaurant can enhance our testimony or diminish our testimony. It's money. It's important. Number one, we need to live strategically. Number two, we need to employ the power of generosity. I need to be quick here. There is a power in generosity. The shrewd steward knew if he demonstrated generosity, it would put him in good favor with those people. Now, if lost people can capitalize on generosity for personal advantage, then saved people should be able to use generosity for eternal advantage. Let me explain real quick what generosity demonstrates, because there is a power behind generosity. Generosity makes a statement, just like greed makes an opposite statement. It says something about you. And Jesus here is teaching generosity. In fact, I told the church in Toronto last week, I don't know how it came up in one of the messages, but it did. I said, you know, people will debate tithing. Some people believe in storehouse tithing. Some people think that, you know, that was just the Old Testament. But I told that congregation, and I've said it here before, you know, okay, argue till you're blue in the face over tithing. One thing I know that the Bible teaches for certain is generosity. That is undeniable. You can quibble over tithing, 10%, whatever. But one thing the Bible teaches is generosity, because there is just a power to generosity. You have a power of being generous. And it can come up in the simplest of places, a restaurant with a tip, for example. What generosity demonstrates? First, generosity demonstrates you value the recipient more than you value your money. You value the recipient more than you value your money. Understand the blessings there that come with that. I'm looking at my notes. Should be the next one. Number 13, is it not changed? Is it froze up? There we go. Generosity demonstrates you value the recipient more than you value your money. You ever think about that? That's part of the power of generosity. That's a power that we need to appreciate, that we possess, and make sure that we're using it for the greatest cause on the face of the earth, trying to reach people with the gospel. Secondly, generosity demonstrates that you believe that God was generous to you. When you're generous to other people, there's just an implicit statement there that that God's been generous to you. Third, generosity demonstrates true humility. You know, it just shows that you're humble before God. You're obeying what he has taught you to be generous. And number four, generosity shows your faith in God's future provision. That God's going to take care of me. God's going to watch after me. I can afford to be generous. You know, that whatever I give, God's going to take care of me. So there is a power in generosity. So this simple parable is teaching us we need to live strategically. We need to think about our money and how we can use it for the cause of Christ. We need then to employ the power of generosity. It's powerful when you're good to people. It's powerful when you're generous to people. And lastly, number three, we need to realize that time is running out. This steward in the story realized he had to do something. His time was limited. He was about to get his last paycheck. So he got busy. We must see the urgency. We must see the urgency. If you were here this past Wednesday night in Revelation chapter 20, you have a greater sense of the urgency. When you read about people being cast into the lake of fire forever and ever, you understand there's a greater sense of urgency. We need to not be afraid to be generous. Psalm 37, verse number 25 reassures us, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So this is a bit of an odd parable, because what this steward did was wrong. But the Lord is smart enough, understatement, to take it and say, here's what I want you to see. Here's what I'm telling you. This steward was strategic. He employed the power of generosity, and he got busy. And that's what you need to do. We can become selfish ourselves. We can become greedy ourselves. We can become busy with other things ourselves. But we need to understand that the Lord was constantly and always teaching about money. These last two quotes I'll leave you with and we're done. Jim Elliot, you've heard this before probably. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. There's a lot of wisdom in that statement. And then Amy Carmichael said this, we will have all eternity to celebrate the victories, but only a short time to win them. It's kind of neat how the Lord gets our attention. How he tells this story and you say, wait, what that guy did was wrong. Yeah, it was wrong. But understand something. He was being strategic for a bad purpose. Why don't you be strategic for a good purpose? He used generosity for bad reasons. But you can use generosity for good reasons. He got busy. He knew that he had to do something and that the clock was running on his employment there. He got busy. He got busy for bad purposes. Why don't you get busy for good purposes? Took a story of a guy that did something bad and turns it around and can convict us that what lost people do sometimes, in a sense, teaches us a lesson that we as Christians need to learn. Not to do the bad that they do, but to use it to motivate us. Finances, money plays an important role in our lives pretty much daily. If you want to get it right, if you want to be blessed, a story like this you will embrace and you will learn. and you will apply it, and God will bless you for it.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's Word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.